Today's shiur is Masechta Maakotin Daf Chav Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis, the last words. Tan Rabbanan, we learn in the Braisa, Ha'hoylech Mimokon L'Mokon. If somebody is traveling on business, and while on his trip, he unfortunately becomes aware that he is an Ovel. So there are a number of approaches in the Rishonim on how to explain this Gemara. Some Rishonim explain that our Gemara here is referring to someone who becomes an Ovel Rachman Tzlan on a parent, who, as we learned earlier in our Masechta, when one becomes an Ovel on a parent, he has to completely limit his business activity. Here our Gemara is referring to a person who went out on a business trip without any knowledge that he would become Chas V'Sholom an Ovel, and while he's on his business trip, he unfortunately becomes aware that he became an Ovel. And the Mishnah, the Braisa will teach us that miyocha l'mat be'iskoi, if he can limit his business activity, even though he already made this trip, yamat, that's what he should do because he's an Ovel. V'mlav, but if it's impossible for him to suspend all of his business activity, yagalgil imohim, he should continue doing business together with others, not by himself, so it should not be so obvious that he's doing business. That's one approach in Rishonim. Another approach in Rishonim is our Gemara is referring to someone who became an Ovel Rachman Tzlan on a different relative, not on a parent. That, as we learned earlier, the halachis of Avelis on someone who's not a parent are not as severe, and during the week of Avelis, business, schayra, parkmatya, may be done by such an Ovel. However, it teaches us the Braisa that this Ovel, who's on the business trip, since he's not going to be conducting himself in the normal fashion of Avelis, given that he's not home, our Mishnah therefore teaches us, our Braisa therefore teaches us, this Ovel, even though he's an Ovel on other relatives, should limit his business activities to show his Avelis. A third approach is that the Derech Olam, the way it is generally, that when one is on a business trip, he's more concerned about to have enough food and provisions available. Because when a person is home, he knows where to buy, he knows what to buy. When one is on a trip, he doesn't have this luxury, he's not at home, and he's more concerned about having enough of what he needs, and he buys more and in more places. He teaches us this braisa, that even though that's the normal custom, how one acts when he's on a business trip, this person, given that he's Rachman Tzlan an Ovel, should not act that way when he's on this business trip because he's an Ovel. Continues the braisa. Tana Bonan, Mei Mesai Koifinus Amitus. From when do we have to begin to turn over the beds? As we learned earlier, one of the things that has to be done during the Shiva is turning over the beds. There's a machloikis, different pshatim. Why? One pshat Yerushalmi says is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I created the person in a certain straight, perfect manner, and the person acted improperly, he reversed the way I wanted him to act, and therefore he brought upon himself death, and therefore death, which represents turning over, reversing the right order, we turn over the beds. Another pshat is that Avelis is supposed to be experienced all the time, day and night. So during the day, the person said shiva, people come to his house, he's certainly experiencing the Avelis. But by night, when there aren't visitors, he's not experiencing the Avelis. We want that experience to be all of the time, so he should lay on a turned over bed at night. Another pshat is that, as we've learned, an Ovel is prohibited from having Tashma Shamita. By having the beds turned over, that will serve as a reminder that Tashma Shamita is prohibited. As we've also learned, our minig is that we do not do Kfiyas Samita. The Rishonim explain, because the Goyim used to accuse that Jews were doing kishuv, they're doing sorcery with this kfiyas hamita. Others explain, and it will become more apparent as we learn today's shir, their beds were different than our beds, and since their beds were different than our beds, kfiyas hamita is not really doable in our beds. But the Rishonim and the Paiskim still do point out that even though we don't actually do kfiyas hamita, what we do is sit on the floor, sit on a low chair. That's the closest that we have to kfiyas hamita. So says the Braisa, Maimusen kaifin samitas, from when the beds have to be turned over. So most Rishonim explain that our Gemara is referring to all Hilchas Avelis. When do Hilchas Avelis begin? Says the Braisa, from the Braisa will begin to discuss it. However, the Karen Ira seems to learn that our Gemara is referring strictly to Kfiyas Hamita. The Kfiyas Hamita begins at the points that we're going to be discussing, not different aspects of Avelis. There, everybody will agree, the different aspects of Avelis only begin after burial. So, Mishiyatz Mepesach, based after the Rebelezer. Rebelezer holds from when the body of the Nifter is removed from the home, that's when Kfiyas Hamita, Hilchas Avelis begin. Mishuayim and Mishiyistam Agoyel, from when the casket is closed. So, Taishas explains, Yistam Agoyel means when there's a stone put on top of the earth, on top where the oval is buried, where the mace is buried, that is Yistam Agoyel, and that's when Hilchas Avelis begin. Rashi's definition of Yistam Agoyel is that the mace is covered. And we will see how to explain Rashi's position with our Gemara. Says the Gemara, Ma'isa Shemesh Gamliel Zokin, there was once an incident where Gamliel Zokin passed away. Kimin Shiyosu in Pesach Beisai, as soon as the body was removed from the house, Amalei Rebelezer, so Rebelezer said, Fumite Tzeichem, Hilchas Avelis begin, turn over the beds. The Kimin Shinistu Magoyel, when the lid, when the body was completely covered, Amalei Rebishua said, Kfumite Tzeichem, turn over the beds. Amalei, they said to him, we already began Hilchas Avelis, like Rebbe Lezer told us, when the Nifter was taken out of the house. Now it's too late to start, it's already begun. So the Yavit says that throughout Shas we have Rebbe Gamliel HaZokin, but the Rebbe Gamliel HaZokin that's being referred to in our Gemara is not that Rebbe Gamliel HaZokin who lived many, many years, he says, before Rebbe Lezer Rebbe Yeshua. It's rather Rebbe Gamliel the Yavna, and he says Rebbe Gamliel the Yavna was indeed a brother-in-law of Rebbe Eliezer. According to Rashi's explanation, that Yistam Hagoyel means from when the mace is covered, so the Rishonim ask, what is the Gemara saying? That the time of Yeshua, which is Yistam Hagoyel, is after the time of Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer says as soon as, only when the Nifter is taken out of the house. Rebbe Yeshua says when the Nifter is covered. The Nifter is covered before he's removed from the house. So some explain that in those days, the Nifter, and we'll discuss this later in the Shir Mitzvah Shem, the Nifter was not removed from the house covered, he was removed uncovered, and he was only covered later, and that's why even according to Rashi, the time Rebbe Eliezer identifies of Mishiyetze Mipesach Beisai is earlier than the time Rebbe Yeshua says of Yistam HaGoyel. But the Rishonim explained that according to Rashi, even in a situation where the mace was covered before he was removed from the house, Rashi will agree that that's not the Yistam HaGoyel that our Rebbe Yeshua is referring to. Yistam HaGoyel means at least that he began the burial process, not just that he was removed from the home. Turn our bottom. Says the Braisa, Meimusai Zoik Finis Amitis Be'erev Shabbos. On Erev Shabbos, as the Rishonim and Paiskim all point out, Hilchas Avelis on Erev Shabbos continue until Shabbos. The Paiskim do point out that if one lives in a community where everybody makes Shabbos early, so he can make Shabbos early, but until Shabbos has actually begun, he has Hilchas Avelis. However, turning over the beds takes time. So from Friday afternoon, Shabbos is already in the ear, so to speak. So from when on Friday afternoon can the begin the beds begun to be turned up again? Min a mincha l'malala, from the time of mincha on. Tosfos points out that we find in halacha that there are two concepts of mincha. One is what's known as the mincha gedola, which is a half an hour after chatzos, and the other is the mincha ketana, which is the last 2.5 hours before shkia. The question Tosfos asks is, when our Gemara says min a mincha l'mala, is it mincha ketana or mincha gedola? Most Paiskim seem to feel that it's from the time of mincha gedola, from a half an hour after chatzos. At that point, it's already Shabbos, and it's already coming Shabbos, and we start turning up the beds. In fact, the Paiskim point out this is the basis for another halacha. The halacha is that the day before a day we don't say tachnun, for example, erev Rosh Chodesh. Given that in Rosh Chodesh we don't say Tachnun, already Erev Rosh Chodesh by Mincha we don't say Tachnun. Because, as our Gemara is teaching us, from the time of Mincha before the day, it's already considered that that day has already somewhat begun. However, says Amar Rav Huna, Apikain, even though the beds have been turned up already, Eina Yoshevaleh, one cannot, the Ovel does not sit on the bed, Atcha Techshech, until it becomes Shabbos. And Tosfos points out, although we haven't explicitly learned in the Gemara a makar, a source that an oval sits on the floor, this is a source that if we see that an oval has to sit on the floor, because it says only on Shabbos that it sit back on a regular bed. Mefarshim ask that we had learned earlier a sugya, if there's a veilus b'Shabbos or there is not a veilus b'Shabbos. One shita held, ain't avails b'Shabbos. There is no avails b'Shabbos. So according to that shita, it's very understandable, our Gemara, we have to turn up the beds before Shabbos, because in Shabbos there's no avails. According to the other position, which is the position that we hold, that there is no avails b'Feres here, there's only avails b'Tzina. So as we explained when we learned the sugya, people enter the houses, and if they see the beds, the couch is turned over, it's considered avails b'Feres here. And therefore, again, we can understand why the beds have to be turned up before Shabbos. But according to the position, as the Rishonim, that Avelis is kept on Shabbos, so how will they explain our Gemara that says that the beds are turned up before Shabbos? Isn't there Avelis on Shabbos? So there are two answers to this question. One answer is that given that Kfiyas Hamita represents a very high level of tsar, very high level of pain, and as we explained earlier, it's very understandable, because it represents why people die. Even the Manda Amma that holds that there is avelus b'Shabbos will agree that kfiyas hamita does not apply in Shabbos. Another pshat is, as we're going to learn soon, not only is the bed and couch of the oval turned over, but all the beds and couches in the home are turned over. So our Gemara is teaching us that those beds should be turned up before Shabbos, even though the bed of the oval, according to that approach, will remain turned over during Shabbos. L'matzah Shabbos, after Shabbos, af b'she'en lo leishiv elo yom echad, even though the person's shiva is ending on Sunday, chayis v'kaifa, he has to turn over the beds again. So there's a very fundamental machloikis, Ramban in Ritva, in understanding this Gemara. As we've learned earlier, on the last day of Shiva, we say, Miksa Sayyam Kikuloi, that part of the day, as long as part of the day is observed in Shiva, that is considered that the person kept the seventh day of Shiva, and Shiva observances are over. Says Ritva, there's a question, when do we say Miksa Sayyam Kikuloi? Do we say as soon as the seventh day, that means the night of the seventh day begins, do we already say Miksa Siyam Kikuloi? Or do we say Miksa Siyam Kikuloi only on the morning? Says the Ritva, and this is the way we paskin. From our Gemara, we see that Miksa Siyam Kikuloi only is said in the morning. Because if we're going to say mixed yom kippur already at night on Matzah Shabbos, says the Ritva, what's the point of turning over the bed? A moment later, the person is stopping to observe Shiva. So it must be that even if we say mixes a yom kikuloi, we only say it in the morning. The Ramban says just the opposite. The Ramban says if the Gemara held that mixes yom kikuloi only applies in the morning, then the Gemara will not have to say this din that the beds are turned over at night. Of course they're turned over at night. There's a whole night still until the person is finishing observing the Shiva. What the Ramban says, our Gemara proves, is just the opposite. That he's going to stop observing Shiva at night. Because, says the Ramban holds that Mixa Yom Kikulai is even at night. And the Gemara's Chiddush is that even though there's going to be only a couple of moments of Shiva, because we're going to be saying immediately Mixa Yom Kikulai, still teaches us the Gemara that for those few moments of Shiva on Matzoi Shabbos, the bed should be turned over. Tara Rabbanan, Hakayfa Mitasoi, one who turns over his bed, Loi Mitas Belvadu Kayfa, not only does he turn over his bed, Akal Mita Shiesh Labitaik Beisai Kayfa, he has to turn over all the beds in the home, he has to turn over. Here too we find a Machlaikis, the Ramban and Ravid. The Ravid says that what the Gemara here is teaching us is that it's not only the bed of the Oval himself that has to be turned over. It's the bed of all the family members that has to be turned over, because they too have to experience Avelis together with the Oval. The Ramban says that's obvious, that they all have to experience Avelis together with the Oval. What the Gemara is teaching us, says the Ramban, is that even though there are extra beds in the house, and those beds aren't necessarily used for family members, they're going to be used for guests, for others, tells us the Ramban what the Brice is teaching us is that all of the beds in the house should be turned over. Then if there'll be a guest that comes to the house, that he's not a family member, and he certainly doesn't have to sleep on the turned over bed, for him we'll turn the bed back up. But first turn over all the beds. Even if he has 10 beds in 10 places, koifis kulan, he has to turn over all of them. Here too we find a machloikis rishonim. Most rishonim explain that it's referring to a situation where the person has beds in many homes, and even though the oval mainly sleeps in the house where the nifter lived, still he should turn over the beds in the other houses he owns, provided that he's going to possibly sleep in those houses during the Avelis. If he's not going to sleep there, those Rishonim, and that's the halacha, say there's no need to turn over the beds. Others say what the Gemara means here is that all the beds in all the rooms in the house, and the others say that the chiv of turning over the beds of an oval apply even to homes where the oval will not be during the Shiva. Continues the Braisa, Vafilu Chamish Achim, if there are five brothers, Umeis Echad, and one of the brothers passed away, Kulam Kaifim, they have to turn over the beds in their homes. The Nmuka Yosef explains the Gemara this way. He says that the situation our Gemara is referring to is that a person passed away, and no one is sitting Shiva in the house where that person lived. The brothers who are sitting Shiva for their brother who died are sitting Shiva in their own homes. So one would think that if in the home where the nifter lived, the beds are not being turned over. Certainly in the homes of the brothers, the beds do not have to be turned over. Teaches us the Braisa that the halacha of turning over the bed is not a halacha in the mace, it's a halacha in the ovel. And where the ovel is, the beds have to be turned over. But it was a bed designated for holding utensils, then it does not have to be turned over. Here too, some Rishonim say, the Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand this line. Some say that the Gemara is teaching us that since this bed is not used for laying and for sitting, it doesn't have to be turned over. Others say, the Rashba hold, that it does have to, it doesn't have to be turned over, but it does have to be put upright. It should not be kept in its regular position. Tells us the Braisa Dargish, and we'll speak about soon what a Dargish is. Ein Tzarech L'Kvayis, it doesn't have to be turned over. El Zoykvay, it's enough to stand it up upright. Shem Gamliel Oimer, Dargish Mates Kabitov. By Dargish, it's enough to untie the loops. The beds, as we're going to explain soon, were made out of a leather sheet that were connected to the post of the bread. Just untie the loops. For Neufel Me'elov, and that leather sheet will fall, and that's enough. Here too we find the Machlokes Rishonim. How to understand Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's position. Is Rav Shimon ben Gamliel coming to be Machmer? That according to Tanakama, it's adequate to just put the bed upright. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says that's not enough. We have to actually untie the loops. Or is Pshat that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is a Mekel? Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is giving us two options. Either put the bed upright, or if you don't want to do that, untie the loops. My Dargish. Ask the Gemara, what exactly is a Dargish? Amu Ula, Ars the Gada. They used to have in their homes a bed. Gada means mazel. They used to have a bed in the home to represent good mazel. And that's the bed, that's the Ars the Gada. The Mefarshim discuss at length the Rishonim that having such a bed, isn't that considered a nichush? Isn't that considered like superstition, having such a bed in the house? And we know the Torah tells us, loy senachshu, we're not allowed to have such a, we're not allowed to do such things, so how could they have such a bed in their homes? So I saw a number of pshatim in the Rishonim. One pshat is that this bed was put out, we know, ki malocha v'yitzav alach l'shmarcha b'chol drachecha, we all have malochim that watch us, and this bed, so to speak, was put to be the bed of the Malach who's watching and protecting us. Another pshat that I saw is that the Malach of Ashiris comes to a house that's neat. The Malach of Anius comes to a home that's messy. They used to have a home, a bed in the home that was kept extremely neat, which should bring the Malach of Ashiris, that a person should have Ashiris in his home. Another pshat along the same line is that people would have an extra bed in their home, showing that Baruch Hashem, in our home there's a Shefa, there's an abundance. We even have extra beds, and that was a Simen Tov and a Mazel Tov. Amay Rava, ask Rava, if you're explaining the Dargish means Ars the Gado El Mata Gav Melech, regarding a king, the Tanan that the Mishnah says, Kol, when a king is Rachmal Tzlon and Ovel, the Loch is Kol Amasuvim Ma'olaretz, everybody should sit on the floor. For who makes the Dargish? He sits on the Dargish, as the Mefarshim explained. The pasuk says, Soim Tosim Alecha Melech Shitei Emos Alecha. We have to fear the king, so we can't all be sitting on the same level as the king. So when the king is on Avraham Malzon, everybody else sits on the floor, and he sits on a Dargish. So ask the Gemara, Mi Kamidi the Ada Idne Lo Yosivna. Till now, this Ask the God is reserved only for good mazel; it's not sat on. And now, for Hashda, now when the king is in Oval Mesvinala, that's when he's going to sit down on such a bed. Maskel of Rashi asks of Rashi, my kosher, what's this so difficult? Midah dehava achil ashtiyah. Why should this be different than the king's eating and drinking? Dada ehidna, until when the king becomes an oval, lo yachil nevlo yishkina, we don't give him to eat and drink, he takes care of himself. Hashta, but when one is an oval, as we will learn the halachas, achlin of ashkina, we have to give him to eat and drink. So we see that everything is different by Avelis, so perhaps even though normally one doesn't sit, the king doesn't sit on the Ars of the Gada, perhaps, but Avelis, he does. Eli Kasha, Ho Kasha. The difficulty is this Kasha. The Tanya, we learned Dargish, Eina Tzorach L'Kvaisoi. A Dargish does not have to be turned over. El Zoykvay. It has to be stood upright. Via Ars of the Gada, now if the Dargish is the Ars of the Gada, Amai Eina Tzorach L'Kvaisoi, why is the Halacha that you have to turn over the bed not applicable here? Ha Tanya, Didn't we learn Hakayf Mitasoi when beds are turned over by Avelis? Loi Mitasibul Vadu Kaifa. Not only is his bed turned over, did we learn that Kal Mita Shiesh Lebetach Beisu Kaifa? All beds have to be turned over. So why is this bed different? Says the Gemara, my Kasha. That's not a question. Mita to have a Mita Michatz Lekalim. Just like we explained regarding a bed that's used to hold utensils. The Tanya, as we learned before. If it's a bed that's used just to hold utensil on it, it doesn't have to be turned over. So we see that not all beds necessarily have to be turned over. So we'll say the same thing here. It doesn't have to be turned over. Says the Gemara, Ali Kasha, the difficulty is Ha Kasha. Rav Shimon Gamliel said that what is done by the dargish, open up the loops and the leather sheet will fall. Says the Gemara, v'salkadaitach ars the gada. If we're going to say that the dargish is ars the gada, my kabitin is like, what kind of loops does it have? So as the Rishonim explain, normally their beds were made to be collapsible, because they did not have such big homes, so they needed to be able to fold the beds to have room. But the Ars the Gada, which as we explained before, was there as a good simon, was always kept. So it wasn't made in a way that was collapsible. It didn't have these loops that are easily taken apart, that are easily untied. So how can we untie it? The Rav Shimon says that that's what should be done. So therefore, ki osu rovin, omlai hum rabonin, he was very frequent in the leather market's market, and as we just explained, the leather beds were made out of leather, so they were very familiar how beds were constructed. My dagish, what is a dagish? Ask the tzila, a bed of leather. And as we're going to explain, itmanami, amr b'yirmiya, dagish serugay mitoichay, by dagish, the way it's constructed is that there are holes in the post of the bed through which loops that are on the ends of the leather sheet are tied through, and it has very low legs, and this was a bed that was usually taken along by nobility when they traveled, a folding bed that they took along when they traveled. On such a bed it's difficult to do kfiyas hamita, and therefore we don't have to do the regular kfiyas hamita that we've been discussing. Mita, on the other hand, the regular bed, surugai algaba, the straps were tied on top of the post, there they had longer legs, and the regular kfiyas hamita was doable. Says the Gemara, Amr of Yaakov Achav, Amr of Yishum and Levi, Halach of Shimon Gamliel, the Halach of Shimon Gamliel, how kfiyas hamita is done by a dargish, we don't have to necessarily do kfiyas hamita, we do, as he said, untying the loops. And here the Mefarshim explain, based on what we explained earlier, how to understand Rav Shimon Gamliel's position. According to the way we explained, that Rav Shimon Gamliel is a mekel, and he's giving us two options. Either you could put the dagish upright, or you could untie the loops. So since, as we've learned so many times, halacha can make a ba'avol, that's what our Gemara is teaching us, that we can be mekel and just do either way as Rav Shimon Gamliel taught us. According to the Mefarshim that say that Rav Shimon Gamliel is a machmer, and he's saying that zoikvoy is not enough, but rather we also have to actually untie the loops. What the Gemara is teaching us here, say those Mefarshim, is that even though normally halacha can make a ba'avol, we go with the cool approach by ba'avol, given, as we explained, kfiyas hamita is such an important and serious aspect of hilchas avelis. Therefore, we don't go with the mako. Zoikvoy is not enough. We actually have to untie the loops. Omer of Yaakov Acha, Omer of Asi. Mita shnaklita yoitzim. A bed who has double posts protruding. They used to have beds, and that besides having the bottom of the bed, they used to have a pole in the front and the back of the bed, and then a pole connecting those two poles, over which they put a canopy to protect the people sleeping under the canopy from flies, from ants, etc. So this bed comes to a point in the top, so it's not possible to turn over such a bed, because it's shaped like a teepee. So all you have to do is zoikvoy, just stand it upright for dayoy, and that's enough to be considered that one did kfiyas hamita. Tana rabbanan, yoshan al gabas kisei. If somebody didn't turn over his bed, but he just slept on a chair, Well, gab a dunna on a large mortar, on a large bucket. A gab a karka, or even if he's gadol mazu, a gab a karka, even if in greater discomfort, he slept on the ground. Lo yotzi de chavosa. He has not the mekayim the mitzvah. Amrav Yochanan shloikim kfiyas amita. He's not mekayim kfiyas amita that requires that the bed be turned over. But here we too we have a machlokas rishonim. The Rambam holds that what the Gemara is teaching us is that he has to turn over the bed and sleep on that turned over bed. Not on the floor, not anywhere else, but specifically on that turned over bed. However, the Rosh learns that the person doesn't have to sleep on the turned over bed. What the Gemara here is teaching us is that the beds have to be turned over. Sleeping on the floor doesn't obviate the need to turn over the beds. But once the beds are turned over and the person chooses to sleep on the floor, that's not an issue. Says the Braisa, Tana Rabbanan Mechabdin, we may sweep, or Marbitzim. They used to have the floor made out of earth, so it used to become very dusty, so they used to sprinkle water on the ground. The base oval, this may be done in a base oval, because this is not considered an act of covet. Or Madichim, Karois, we could wash plates, kaisas is cups, tsluchi is jars, ketoni is bottles, the base oval in the home of an oval. Again, these are things that are all done not out of great covet, but these are the necessities of keeping a house clean. And the Ritva says that even if there isn't anyone right now who needs these cups, we're allowed to keep the oval's home basically clean. However, incense and perfume may not be brought to the home of the oval. Ask the Gemara, Aini, is this the case? But Tari Bakaparo, Aim of Archim, Loyal Mugma, Veloyal Besamim, Base Oval, we don't make a bar, meaning Besamim, on the Mugma and Besamim, the home of the Oval. So what do we see? Bruchi Hudulam Verachinen, a bruch is not made, Hasuya Maisinen, it is brought, answers the Gemara, Loikasha, Ha Base Oval, Ha Base Hamanachman. So there are two ways the Rishonim explain this Teretz. One way is that Ha Base Oval, while the mace is still there, we're allowed to bring besamim. Because sometimes the mace gives off a bad odor. So we're allowed to bring mugmer, besamim, to mask that bad odor. And therefore it's very understood why a bracha is not made. Because a bracha, a bar mina besamim, is only made when the purpose of smelling them is to enjoy the fragrance. Here it's only to mask a bad odor. That's why the bracha is not made. In the base of Menachemim, when the mace is no longer there, besamim mugmer may not be brought. Another approach, har base oval, har base Menachemim. In the room where the people who are Menachem oval are sitting, so there's a large group of people in that room, and sometimes there could be an odor in that room, we're allowed to bring besamim. However, in the room that's reserved only where the oval sits, so there's a small group of people there, and they're avelim, we should not bring besamim. The Paiskim discussed the Shaila, what is the halacha Motzoi Shabbos in the home of an oval? Is a bayir min b'samim said or not? The Paiskim seem to say that there's a question. Some say that oval should not make a bayir min b'samim. Others say that he's certainly mechuyv to make a bayir min b'samim like all other people have to make a bar minimum some matzah Shabbos. It seems from what I see, what the Paiskim would suggest is the best approach, is that the oval should not make avdala himself, rather someone else should make avdala, and he should make the bracha a bar minimum besamim, and the oval could then just smell the besamim without actually expressing the bracha. Says the Mishnah, Eim alichin lebeis ha'oval, we're not allowed to deliver food to the oval's home, loy b'tavla, not on a tray, in an elegant tray, v'loy be'askdala, not in a large bowl, v'loy be'kanon, not in a large basket, ela be'salim, only in plain baskets. Most Rishonim explain, and this is the way it will become obvious when we learn the Gemara, that our Mishnah is referring to Avelis not strictly in Chol HaMoed. At all times, when one is at Oval and the food is being brought to their home, the Mishnah is teaching us it should be brought, and the Gemara will explain soon why, in a very simple fashion. I saw from Ramosha, the halacha is that an Ovel we're not allowed to give gifts to. When one is an Ovel, Rachman Shalom, we're not allowed to give him a gift. We know even that an Ovel is not supposed to receive Shalchmanas on Purim in the year of his Avelis. So how, asks Ramosha, do we send food? And he says, we know that the Minig Ha'olam is to bring food to the home of an Ovel. So he says, Ramosha explains, when one gives Shalchmanas, or one gives a gift, it's like Shela Shalom. And as we learned, an Ovel, particularly an Ovel on a parent, the whole year, is also B'Shela Shalom. Here, where food is sent to the home of an Ovel, is not because of a gift. It's not because of Shela Shalom. The point is that the people who send these items of food are showing that we're thinking of you. It's the way that they're expressing their nechama to the Ovel. And certainly, since Nechama Avelim is part of the process of Avelis, that's why food may be brought to those homes during the Avelis. Then Omrim Brichas Avelis V'Moyed, they used to have a special bracha that was said on after they came home from the Levaya, after the Sudas Avra. This is not said on Chol HaMoed. Avel Omdim B'Shurim Menachmim, we do stand in the Shur after the Levaya and a Menachem the Avel. We'll Paitim Rambam and we send them home. So as Mepharshim explained, what Paitim Rambam means, few pshat. One pshat is that since we're not going to be saying the Brichas Avelim, so as soon as people were Menachem Avel, they shall leave. Another pshat is that since we're not saying the Brichas Avelim Chol HaMoed, one would think that after Yontif will say the Brichas Avelim. Says the Brisa, or Paitimus Arabim, they will not be made up after Yontif. Another pshat, which is consistent with what we will learn in the end of the Mishnah and the Gemara, that since it's Chol HaMoed, even though we're making a Levaya, but given that it's Chol HaMoed, we don't want the people to spend time at the Levaya, rather we send them home quickly, it's Chol HaMoed. We do not put down the mitah in the street on Chol HaMoed, again, because it's Chol HaMoed, but not to have too many espedim. Even in a situation, as we're going to learn, where espedim are made, we don't make it in the regular fashion that either the people should realize that it's Chol HaMoed and only on certain individuals hesbedim are made, or another pshat is that even if a hesped is said in Chol HaMoed, it should be said in a more abridged version. The mitah of a woman is never put down in the street when they are covered because of dignity, which we'll explain in the Gemara. Tarabonim. Originally, they would bring to the base of Ovel Ashirim, Bekato, Shalkesav, Shalzov. To wealthy would deliver in baskets of silver and gold. Vanim, Besal, Netzarim, Shalarova, Klufa. And the poor would bring wicker baskets. Machlokes, Rishonim, what does this mean? Does it mean that the people who brought the baskets, wealthy people would bring baskets made out of silver and gold, and poor people would bring baskets made out of wicker? Whereas pshat depends on who was the Ovel. If the Ovel was a wealthy person, then they would bring to him the food in expensive baskets, silver and gold baskets. And if the Ovel was an Ani, they would bring it to him in wicker baskets. Vayanim is Baishin, the poor people would feel ashamed. They made it, everybody should bring a wicker basket, for the dignity of the poor. Here we see that because of the dignity for the poor, certain halachas of Avelis were instituted. Michsalaza says this is the basis why by Jewish funerals we don't have flowers. Aside from the fact that there's a concern of Kuseim Loisalechu, it's a minig ha'akum to have flowers, which is not the minig that we should follow. Also, since we're learning, explains the Michsalaza in our Gemara, how careful we should be in making sure that people who can't afford should not feel under pressure by a levaya, and flowers that can begin these large bouquets and orchards, that's why they should not be brought. Tanabonim. Rishana Hayamashkin based Oval. Originally they would give drinks in the house of an Oval. Ashirim Bezchuch Slavana, they would be served in crystal. Vanim Bezchuch Tzvua, in colored glass. So Tupshotim, either colored glass is cheaper than crystal, also because the beverages that they used to drink weren't such fine beverages, so they didn't want people to see, so they drank in colored glass, they shouldn't see what they're drinking. They made up that everybody should drink in colored glass. Originally, when somebody died, if the person who died was wealthy, they would leave his face uncovered, but they would cover the face of the poor, because their faces were blackened from famine. They lived a difficult life, and they didn't look good as they passed away. And again, vayanim is baishin. And as the Lubavitcher Rebbe explains, the niyim means here, the living aniyim would be embarrassed that this is the difference. Even in death, there's a difference between poor and wealthy people. Hiskinu shoyim echas mnei kol. So the minig became that all faces of all niftarim are covered. Mnei kvaidim shel aniyim. Brishena hayim etzin ashirim bedargush. Originally, they would take out wealthy people as they died in an expensive dargish. Vaniyim would be taken out beklicha on a poor, on a small bed. Vayanim is baishin. Hiskinu shayakol metzim beklicha. All niftarim are taken out in the klicha. Mnei kvaidim shel aniyim. A person who died from a stomach ailment and would have perhaps a bad odor emanating from his body, they would put incense under his body. The live people who had these diseases would be embarrassed that this is how they will end up, and it would be very embarrassing to them. They put incense under everyone. If a woman passed away when she was a nida, and we know whatever a nida touches becomes tamei, so they used to, anything that she touched, anything that came in contact with her, they would put into a mikvah. Women who are nidas would be embarrassed that this is their, this will be shown when they passed away. Anything that came into contact with a woman who passes away should be immersed. Similarly, at the beginning, they used to tivel anything that a person who died as a zov, because a zov is metame what he touches. Anything that came into contact with this person should be immersed. At the beginning, the actual taking out, the expense of the levaya, was worse and more troublesome to the relatives, because more than the death. The relatives of the dead person would just leave the nifter and run away, because they couldn't afford to make a levaya, because the expense of making a levaya, given that so many, that the minig was to do such different things, became impossible to bear. Achabar Gamliel, for Noah Kals Rosh Ba'atzmai, Gamliel came and he did for himself. Machlekta means that he said when he dies this should be done, or he acted this way towards a relative of his who died. For Yotz B'Kli Pishtin, he was buried in linen garments. That became the minig that everyone is buried in linen garments. Amra Papa v'hidna nog alma. Nowadays it's the custom. I feel a bit sad to Barzuzah, even a canvas, a cheap canvas, is what's used for tachrichim. And the Mefarshim go at great length to explain how important it is to bury someone specifically in linen. They explain that just like we find that the Kohen Gadol, when he went into the Kodesh HaKodashim Yom Kippur, wore linen garments, so we see linen has the ability to bring kapara. So when a person passes away, he should be buried in linen. Another thing I saw from the Mefarshim is that one who's buried in linen, it's easier for him to have Tchiyas HaMeisim. So burying someone in linen is declaring that one believes in Tchiyas HaMeisim. In fact, I saw the Shail Shetshuva Silmas Chaim, Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, asks that if that's the case, so in those days, that before the minute that everybody was buried in linen, how did they not bury them in linen? So he says that it was always the minute in Klal Yisrael to bury the Neftarim in linen. The only thing was that in those days, on top of the linen, they put on other expensive garments. And what our Gemara is teaching us is that Gamliel instituted that they should only use the linen garment and nothing else. A chalmoid, we said, we do not put the mita in the street because we don't want to have too many espadim. Omer, Rapapa, however, says Rapapa, Eimoy b'fnei Talmud Chacham. This doesn't apply to Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham, we can make a hesped even chalmoid. Koshke Chanuk Purim. If chalmoid, which is a yontem midaraisa, we can make a hesped for Talmud Chacham, certainly Chanuk Purim. However, the hani mil b'fonof, that's only where the mace is. Avishloi b'fonof loy, where he's not, it may not be done. Ask the Gemara, Eini, Rav Kahana Safdel Rav Zvid ben Adar b'fum Nahara. Rav Kahana said a hesped and Rav Zvid of Nadar in the city of Pum Nahara, a chalmoid, even though that wasn't where he was, that he was died and where he was buried. Amra Papa, Yom Shmua Hava, k'befon of Domi. So the way most Rishonim explain is that these two cities were very near each other, so the people in Pum Nahara immediately became aware of Rav Zvid's passing, and since it was still the day where he was Nifter, some say even if it was after the Kfura, some say it was before the Kfura, still a Hesper could be said because it's still the day of his death. There is a sheet of a Rambam who says that even if it's not the day of the death, but if it's the day that they hear about the Petir of a Talmud Chacham, a Hesper could be said even if it's a Cholamoid. Interesting, Machloikis, Mishnah Brura, and Noi de Behuda. The Mishnah Brura and the Bi'ar Locha says that nowadays there is no one considered a madreg of a Talmud Chacham that a hesped could or should be set for him on Chol HaMoed. However, the Noi de Behuda and the Elio Rabba say that there are certainly still even nowadays a hesped should be set for a Talmud Chacham before of a Chol HaMoed. There's only a discussion that most places seem to say that it should be a little more abridged, a little more limited. Amma Ula, hesped aleif. When the word hesped is used, it means beating upon the chest. The ksiv al shadayim soiftim. Upon the breast they would beat. Tipuch b'yad, when it's the terminology, tipuch b'yad means clapping with the hand. Kilus means beregel, where they stamp with the foot. Tana bonan, hamakalus, someone who's stamping by a nifter. Leikalus b'sandal, he shouldn't stamp with a sandal. Ela b'minal, only with a shoe, b'mnei sakana. So, as Rashi explains, a shoe fits on the foot much better, so there's not a concern that's going to fall off, and therefore one should wear a shoe when stamping, not a sandal that we have to be concerned will fall off by the force of the stamping and hurt the person. Others say just the opposite. A shoe, we should use a sandal, not a shoe. A shoe is made out of soft leather, and during the course of stamping, a foreign object may pierce the shoe and cause injury. The sole of a sandal, however, is made out of wood, and there's not such a concern. Tosfos seems to learn that one shouldn't wear not a shoe and not a sandal, and like that, he'll be careful not to stamp too hard.